You are the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus, Jesus, giving me hope through your sacrifice, Jesus, Jesus, be my King and I will follow you alone, Jesus. Reading your word, the truth I receive, Jesus, Jesus. Trusting your promise, I will believe. Jesus, Jesus, be my King, and I will follow you alone. Jesus.
Well, if you were in our house this afternoon, you would have heard Reagan singing, Jesus, Jesus. I don't know, there's something about getting up here in front of everybody that shuts her down. I don't know what it is. All right. Well, let's get back to Ephesians. We're going to be talking about my identity in Christ. And where do you find your identity? Have you ever asked yourself that question? I mean, you think about who you are as a person. Really, who are you and what is it based on? Like, I know that I'm an American citizen. And most of you are too, I imagine. I had a friend that he and his wife just became dual citizens of America and Ireland at the same time, which was very ironic. That was just a godsend. It was a miracle because I had another other friends, there was a couple that actually, they wouldn't let them stay in Ireland as missionaries. And so they, after 20-some years of ministry, had to leave because they couldn't find that citizenship. They wouldn't extend any sort of visa. But then my other friends, they were able to become Irish citizens, which is really cool. What does that mean? Well, they get to stay. They get to be a part of whatever is going on there and continue to pastor there in Ireland, which is very, very cool. But it means a whole lot more. What does being an American mean to you? Like, when you sing the Star Spangled Banner, what does it mean something? Do you start thinking of things, maybe family members who have served in the military, of maybe even the picture that the Star Spangled Banner is presenting in your mind of whatever Francis Scott Key was picturing as he was penning this song? It means so much as you go back and as I don't know if you've been to Gettysburg to be able to go through and see all that went on there. Absolutely extraordinary and frightening at the same time of what our country has been through. But there's a lot that's there. There's a lot that has meaning in becoming an American citizen. I get to vote. Awesome. I get to have a say there. Now, I might not always agree with how the outcome comes out. Okay, but then I got to suck it up, buttercup, and say, God, you got a plan, right? Okay, but I get to vote. I get to do a lot of different things. I get to stay here and not be kicked out. So far, so good, all right? There's a lot of things that's invested in being an American, and even my identity, when they ask for my identity, I show them a card. I have ID. And there's a lot of cards that us Illinoisans have to have and present all the time, even if they're unconstitutional, right? Just full of them, right? But there's just so many things that they can figure out who you are based on the card that you present. But are you more than that? What means so much more than that? Now, tonight we're going to be talking about counting our blessings. And I heard that this was actually a song that they sang in the nursing home service today. But count your blessings. When was the last time that you actually counted your blessing? Blessings, plural. What about Paul as he writes this to this church in Ephesus, how he goes into this massive praise fest of all that we are in Christ, all the spiritual blessings that he bestows, that God bestows on us, and that we have in Jesus Christ, and even sealed in the Holy Spirit, as we see in these next few verses, going from chapter 1, 3, verses 14. He's just going to riddle through it. And there's so much here that you are not going to get enough out of tonight's sermon. You're going to have to go and spend the next week here. There's so much that he's giving you. As I read this, I'm reminded of junior campers after they've just gotten done with a week of camp. When you go and pick up, by the way, it's such a blessing to be able to go up and pick up junior campers from Camp Assurance at the end of the week. When you go and pick them up, you literally feel like they just downed three energy drinks before they got on the bus. And you ask them how it went. And you know what happens? And then some people, like certain people over in this section over here who's always quiet, not Caitlin, just goes off and unloads everything on you and is like, I don't know if I can intake all of that information. I've just been overloaded. And they're giving three or four cheers at a time in the back, and I may have asked for it. They might have been singing three or four songs on the way back home. By the way, you don't have to worry about falling asleep on the way home. You just stay awake. It's this overload of all that they were able to experience, what they were blessed with. And then when you open that back storage container in the back of the bus, you're overloaded with a lot of blessings from dirty clothes in the week. I mean, just, whoa, and now I'm up, my second wind, I'm never going to go to sleep tonight. It's absolutely amazing. You say, when you come into this, when he starts unloading, you are going to get some action-packed theology from Paul. And what we need to walk away with tonight is that same peace that Pastor was talking about this morning. Not fear, not anxiety, not anxiousness, not worry. It's a settledness that God's got this. It's not based on me. All of what's here is not based on me. It's based on the grace of God. There's nothing special that I did to be able to attain this. It is based on God's good, wonderful, rich grace that he gives because he's a good God. And so as we jump in this tonight, You will understand, listen, there is a ton of gifts here that I get to appreciate, not only appreciate, but I get to live out these truths because now my identity has developed and become so much more complex than what it was before Jesus. And that's not a scary thing. It's a good thing. So as we dive into this tonight, we're going to be talking about the entire Trinity. We're going to be talking about blessings from God, blessings in Christ, blessings of the Holy Spirit, all action-packed in verses 3 through 14. So let's go ahead and jump into this. We're going to get a flyby, an aerial view of salvation and all that's entailed, okay? Salvation is simple, but yet there is so much in it at the same time. Again, this is not to scare you. It's just to make you appreciate what God gives you even more. Okay? So let's jump into blessings from God, verses 3 through 6. It says there in these blessings from God, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Okay? So let's dive into that verse. What is that saying? Praise be to God. Let's point this all in God's direction. the God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us so many spiritual gifts. It's all sourced in heaven, coming down. It's not from what's around me. It's coming from heaven. The God who gives only good, right, to us, is laying it out for us, and it's all because we are in Christ. And when I'm meaning in Christ, it's meaning that we have put our faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. So positionally, we are in Christ. He's the avenue to get to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life, as he stated in John 14. And so this is something that we are coming back to worship God with. Praise be to God for all these spiritual blessings. Now, when we think of blessings, we can think of gifts in the sense of we just got done with Christmas. And you might have gathered around the Christmas tree, but while no one is around the Christmas tree, you might have gone in to snoop some of the gifts. Anybody want to confess that they are snoopers? Okay, I'll confess. All right. I go look, not inside. I don't rip the paper. I just go and inspect. I shake. I listen. I give good guesses. And it ticks Keely off. Oh, she hates it because a lot of times I guess whatever it is. That's why she was so excited about this year that she surprised me, and I was literally surprised with the gift that I got. She was so pumped. She was going and telling everybody, yeah, go ahead, ask Taylor what he got, because I didn't guess it. She was so excited about that. But when we get gifts, what do? We start thinking. Oh, the things that I could do with all the things in my imagination, right? If only I had a new drill. I could build all kinds of things with this. I could get the list done that Keely blesses with me with all the time. Man, if I only had a kayak, and I've got this little bitty box, you know, if I only had a kayak, right? I could lose my keys with Josh and Pastor, okay? It'd be so exciting to be a part of their mission. Oh, if only I could do all of these things so I could bless myself with whatever it is, right? What are we thinking of when we think of gifts? Right? We turn around and we think of all the things that we could do. If only I had an Amazon gift card so I can go get some more shoes. Oh, I'm so excited. I need me some Croc boots or something, you know, just to be able to fulfill my life. Wouldn't I look spiffy with Croc boots? I mean, just all the things that I would just be blessed with. You know, when we're talking about blessings here and what God gives, is it about me? I mean, all of these things that we're going to work through, it is going to affect your way of life. It should change how you live. All of a sudden, as you understand who you are in Christ, you wake up differently. You go to bed differently. You teach differently. You love differently. You have peace differently. I mean, it is a different, we are a new creature. So yes, it does affect us. But what is Paul doing? God the Father is blessing us with all of this, but blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as you will notice, as he walks through this passage, he will consistently be pointing back to God's will, God's pleasure. It's about God. And so as you walk through it tonight, if you need to underline what I am in Christ, you can do that, what my new identity is, but then also look at the things that God, I mean, what he's doing for himself, for his glory, pointing it all vertically. Praise be to God. Let's keep going. Verse number 4. According as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This is a scary verse for some who don't understand it. What's going on here? God, and this is a part of his blessings. This is a part of what Paul is getting this church to appreciate and to love and to praise God for, not to sit back in fear. What's he saying? God chose you before you. What does that mean? I can't fix it. I can't mess it up. I can't anything. God loved me first so I could love him back. It's not anybody manipulating the system. It's not a matter of money that I can present. There's no amount of prayers that can be sent up in order to fix it to where I can manipulate God into doing what I want. God chose me. Why? Not so I could sit here in fear of whether I'm chosen or not. Because so many are there. Well, I might not be God's elect. I might not be chosen, right? That's not where he's going. Listen, Paul would never help believers into fear. He would draw them in appreciating how we can worship God even more and how he has chosen us for what? Chosen us for a new way of living. He set us apart. He sanctified us that we should be holy, different, unique, without blame before him in love. How can we achieve that? How can you achieve being holy, without blame, before him in love? What's that love aspect there? As you see that in Christ, in him, in the beloved, all through that, that's the only reason why we can be able to stand before him holy, blameless, in love. It's Jesus. It's all in his security, his plan, his choosing. Let's keep going, because there's more in the midst of this choosing factor. It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of his children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Did you see that? This is all his plan, his pleasure, his will. This is what he desires. He's moving along here, and all glory is coming back to him. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. How can we be accepted when it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Do you see those last three words? In the beloved. It's in Christ. That's how we're made accepted. It's all coming back to everything about him and what he gives. Sometimes, again, these words of chosen and predestinated, it produces some confusion and it comes in and people are wrestling between God's sovereignty and our free will, and it's just this mess. Well, how could God choose me if I have free will and I just have this mess going on in my head? But you know what? Again, like I said earlier, Paul is not trying to breed fear in other believers. He's trying to instill peace and settledness for these believers. Some ask, how do I know that I'm chosen? How do I know that I am a part of that? Well, if God has drawn you to him where you are drawn in by his love and you are seeking to put your faith in him, that's a pretty good tell that you are chosen by God. It's not in this fear factor of, oh, I just don't know. If God is drawing you to him for salvation, Put your faith in him. That's it. I don't have to worry about this crazy formula. What it is, like I said, is a settledness. As I step back, I find hope. I find peace. I find rest when I am in Christ, that God chose me, Taylor. Do you remember when you were a kid and you're getting ready for kickball? And all of a sudden you pick two captains. First of all, it's pretty cool to be picked as a captain, right? Then all of a sudden you get picked first. Whoa, they picked me. Why? Sometimes they have no idea. Okay, all right? It's just that idea of I've been chosen and I'm secured for this team. In this sense, it's not because of who I am, but because God loves me, he chose me, and I am settled. I am on his team, and that stability that is there, I don't have to worry if I am going to be off his team, kicked off his team. I'm in Christ. That's that security that I have in him. And so this isn't something to wrestle with fear over. It's just the peace that God gives and that it is settled. So again, when we come into that passage, it's not to raise alarms. It's only to settle the fact of what God has done for his glory. I may not understand every single aspect, every single facet of that, but that's a part of the faith that I put in Jesus Christ. There's a few verses that I want to run to. It's over in Romans. In Romans 8:15 through 16, it says this, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption." What do we talk about? God predestined us for adoption, his children. "You have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Now, these same verses could, again, link up with point number 3, which we're not there yet. But it all comes back to what we have in the spirit, but all the blessings from God. Now, because of we are in Christ, we can cry out. We have been adopted. I can say, Father. And he responds. Now, if I yelled out dad right now, where would you look? Y'all know. I might even have some of his characteristics, right? I might have his goofy laugh. Okay? I've got his name. I've got a link to his past. I'm a part of who he is, and people recognize that. And when I call that out, guess what? I love the fact that my dad answers. And that's a beautiful thing to be able to have on this earth, but we understand that earthly fathers are not comparable to the Father we have in heaven. And so now when we understand this chosen and adoption, and I might have been in the family of sin, but now I've been called out of that as I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now I am in the family of God. And when I cry out, Father, he answers. He is that place of refuge, of help. He's love. He's care. He chastens. He disciplines. Because I understand in Hebrews where it says, if he doesn't chasten and discipline me, then that's an understanding that I'm not one of his children. And so this is security that he's bringing them back to, this stability, this foundation of our salvation, of all that we have in God, from in Christ, from God, all these blessings. Again, not to, oh man, I am chosen. Did you know that I'm chosen? I mean, bring all the glory to me. Fully on that. We are supposed to be coming back and give blessings to God, praise to God, worship to him for all that he has given. We're supposed to point back to him and how we reflect him in that holiness, the blamelessness, being in love. We are his child for those who are in Christ. You see where your identity is starting to change? So last Wednesday night, I was talking to the teens of why we exist. Okay? Pastor brought it up this morning. Okay? Why do we exist as people? Our purpose is to give glory to God. Right? Whether therefore eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So what motivates your thoughts, your words, and your actions? Most of the time, me, right? But what identity am I choosing to live out in that moment? Taylor. Whose image am I reflecting? Taylor. Where is that pointing others? Taylor. Now, if I understand all that I have in God, from God, in Christ, all of a sudden my identity is changing that mindset. I'm understanding how this applies not only to my emotions, but also my desires and my actions. All of a sudden, what should motivate my thoughts, my words and my actions is my new identity that I have in Christ. I'm chosen. I'm a child of God, so maybe I shouldn't say those things. Maybe I shouldn't listen to those things. Maybe I shouldn't watch those things. Maybe I shouldn't do those things. Maybe I shouldn't think those things because I am a child of God. Praise be to God. It's all coming back to worship him. All that we have in him. When we don't embrace that identity, we only reflect us. When we do embrace the identity, we are in essence doing verse number 3, blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's jump over to the point number 2, blessings that we have in Christ. We talked about this a little bit, but we understand what God gives that for those who are in Christ. But this is going to be developed even more of what happens through Jesus' sacrifice. We see there in verse number 7, it says, in whom we have redemption. We have been bought. We have been delivered out of the slavery to our sin because of the redemption through his blood. There had to be sacrifice. There had to be blood. There had to be this substitution. And what goes hand in hand with that same statement, that same blessing that we're finding in Christ, finding redemption, but also forgiveness. Okay, we've been bought back, but yet that we are no longer held responsible for those things that we've done, the transgressions, because Jesus paid it all. He cleansed us. We are no longer in my sin. I am in Christ. Because of his sacrifice, I am redeemed, bought back. I no longer have to serve the old master. I no longer have to serve the sin. Okay? The sin didn't make you do it. Satan didn't make you do it. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, it's me who chooses to go back to the filth. It's me who chooses to give in to the temptation, which is Often a desire of my own mind, right? It's our lusts that we're chasing back to, but we don't have to go there. We have redemption. We've been bought. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Again, nothing that I have done. I can walk a mile. I can crawl a mile on my hands and knees and rocks to try to show my devotion to Jesus Christ, but it does absolutely nothing except for produce a lot of scars. Produces a lot of scars. Pain, more pain. Okay? Where is this all coming from? Can I work my way into being in Christ? It is purely out of the riches of His grace, and it's never depleted. It's nothing that I deserve. It's all His goodness bestowed upon us. That is what we have in Christ, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. All of a sudden, those who are in Christ are receiving more grace and understanding how to live this wisdom, this understanding of what's going on in God's plan. As we understand His word, as we grow in this, there is an abundance of it to come towards us. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. What is that? It's Jesus coming to offer this good news. All of a sudden, as we have put our faith, it's been made known to us. We understand this is God's plan. This is the only way, the truth, the life. This is what we're coming back to. All to bring, again, God more glory. It's according to His pleasure. He set it up in the very beginning. We were in Genesis a few years ago. Genesis 3:15. What did God promise? He promised a Savior. He promised a victory. He had a plan all the way back then. Did they understand it? Not so much. But there was always a plan of victory that was coming. That was the mystery. And all of a sudden, as we get to taste of God's grace in this salvation, we understand, okay, this is what Christ came to do. This is what Christ came to save me from, and this forgiveness and the redemption and all that's bestowed upon me from God Himself. This is what's made known. And now I get to live in a totally different fashion. This new identity in Christ makes a difference. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. You know what happened here? It was both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. All other identities have been wiped away in this verse. There's no more division on the color of your skin, on your pay grade, on what country you come from, what education you receive. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, what gender you are. Everything's brought together for those who are in Christ, all in one, to what? Our eternal destiny. For those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, we will get to not only see being freed from the power of sin, but also the penalty of sin and the presence of sin. This is heaven. All brought together in Christ. No more division. Wouldn't you say this is a miracle? Because even those who are in Christ right now still struggle with division, don't we? And so what we look forward to in the salvation that we've been given is this oneness, this unity that we have in Christ being brought together. It's all done. We see the completion of what Christ gives through the redemptive work of the cross. It says in verse 11, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Whose will is happening right now? It's God's. It's all his will. He's pushing forward his will. Sometimes we think that there's something else that's more powerful than God. Why? Because when an election happens, oh no! We're not going to survive. When a storm happens, oh no! When snow happens, oh no! The world's going to end, right? We come back to this, I don't know who's in control. God is. And we have obtained an inheritance. We are given this inheritance, the completion of that salvation. This is what we're looking forward to, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. What we're looking forward to, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Why do we get all these spiritual blessings from God? Go ahead and answer it from that verse right there. What do you think? It's to bring glory back to God. I don't use Jesus to get what I want. I thank Jesus for all he's done, put my faith in Jesus, and bring all that praise back to God for what he has allowed me to be a part of. It's all him. Have you been counting your blessings as we've been walking through here? Last one, blessings of the Holy Spirit. Verse number 13, in whom ye also trusted. And see, this is the blessing of those who get caught up in that chosen factor. We need to come back to that. Paul here presents that God is sovereign. There is a choosing, but also in the same sense, we have that free will of putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And so as we jump in here, it says, in whom, who in Christ, we have trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. After we heard what God has given us as truth, that gospel, the good news of salvation, we respond in putting our faith in him. Do you see any works in there? You see any money transactions? Do you see any good looks presented in here to gain the in Christ identity? No, we don't see anything but putting our faith in what Christ has done on the cross and then rising again 3 days later. Victory over sin and death. So after putting our faith in Jesus, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed. This is that idea of that, the authenticity of a letter. Once they would write that letter, they would seal it with their insignia, their symbol. And then they would send it along. And as long as that seal was not broken, they understood that this is exactly from who the sender is. Now, the Holy Spirit coming and indwelling the believer is a part of that authenticity of God in choosing us and redeeming us and forgiving us. All of that, it's sealing the deal. This is authentic. It's secure. There's authority behind this. We can rest in this, that the Holy Spirit of promise who's coming and dwelt, which is the earnest, it's the pledge. This is just the beginning. It's just a little taste of what's to come, the Holy Spirit indwelling us and the power of God. God indwelling us is just a taste of what is to come. It's the earnest, the pledge of our inheritance of the eternal, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. What does the Holy Spirit indwelling us do? Well, there's a ton of things. There should be a remodel. There should be fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith. What else? Guidance into truth, conviction of sin. This is a remodel. God indwelling us. We're seeing the power of God on display through the salvation that he gives to change us, to sanctify us, to understand that we are a new creature, purchased. This is just a taste of what is to come. Sometimes we step back and we think, man, it was a miracle that Jesus saved me. You're right. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. It's a miracle. But that is just the pledge. It's just the promise of, oh, wait, there's more. Oh, wait. Heaven's coming. It's just a taste. Can't wait. What's this identity doing to you? All that God gives. Are we still settling on what we want, or are we bringing it all back to him? Why did God save you? Why did God save me? To bring him glory. After all of this, I can be settled in the faith that I have in him. I can be secure that it wasn't because of me that I am saved, because of him. I can rest in that very fact. So how's your identity, your new identity, how has it affected you in your life? How is embracing being chosen, adopted, forgiven, redeemed, sealed, changed the way that you walk? Let's pray. God, we thank you so much. For your truth. And God, I feel like I always come back to that, thanking you, but that, God, you've given us so much. And we need to give thanks. We need to count our blessings. This new identity in Christ changes so much. Help us to live that out. Help us to walk as a new creature. Help us to bring glory back to you by the way that you have changed us, the remodel from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, God. Thank you that we're sealed, that we are adopted, that we are chosen, that we are forgiven, redeemed, wholly blameless because of you, in love because of you. God, thank you that you started this so we can respond. If there's someone here that has not put their faith in you, God, that they would embrace this new identity this evening. In Jesus' name. Amen.